This is the Grow My Clinic podcast by Clinic Mastery, where we help you deliver amazing client experiences to grow your clinic.
Well, welcome back to another episode of the Grow My Clinic podcast. I'm your host, Jack O'Brien. Thank you for sharing your earbuds with us again today. We've got another special guest. It's been some variations in the podcast style of late, a couple of different types, but today we've got a fantastic guest. We're going to go for a little bit longer and explore practice management software, but even bigger picture than that, let's talk about digital healthcare, the opportunities and challenges that face clinic owners in the Australian environment specifically. So I'd love to introduce you to Yanni Sapanis from Core Plus. Yanni, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, thanks, Jack. How are you?
And I'm doing very well. I've played a round of golf this morning, hit them terribly, but I'm excited to talk to you. So let's dive right in. You are the founder of Core Plus, which is an amazing practice management software specifically for allied health clinics in Australia. Can you tell me, Yanni, why did you build Core Plus and what's your background? What's the motivation there?
Well, we are connected, related, and have friendships with people in the allied health sector. And around about 2009-10, it was pretty clear that there weren't too many options for allied health practitioners to be able to adopt good quality software at an affordable rate. All the technology at the time was pretty much installed in a desktop or in a server, and it was quite an expensive proposition because it wasn't just buying the software and dealing with the maintenance on it, but it was also the whole, let's get an IT guy in to configure the network.
Oh, and horrible.
It was pretty painful. So there was a pretty high price to pay to actually get into technology and gain productivity advantages, I guess, with respect to innovation. So there was definitely a really good reason to try and do something web-based to lower the barriers for adoption. But also coinciding with that kind of thinking at the time, there was an evolution happening in Australia, which at the time was called the National E-Health Transition. Mm-hmm. And there was a government body that was set up to set out some goals for the healthcare system to achieve in a digital standpoint, or an e-health standpoint, as it was called at the time. And that started to acknowledge that there was this thing called the internet, and there was the possibility to be able to share information electronically much more broadly. And so that was a really exciting idea for us because we recognised that the Australian healthcare system was quite fractured in terms of systems. Sure. A lot of money falls into the hospital sector and to the general practice type arena, but not too much support for allied health. So we took it upon ourselves to try and address that initially with an anywhere, anytime health record. Mm-hmm. For client interactions that involved working from multiple locations or the itinerant allied health worker. And it just snowballed from there in terms of all these different types of ways to address allied health and in all its many and varied forms.
Sure. Amazing. And coming up on 10 years is quite a remarkable achievement in the software world. So congratulations. We'll get into some specifics around Core Plus later, but at a top level view, can you tell us about some of your users? I know that you're specifically for the Australian market. What types of health professionals, what are the environments that Core Plus is used in?
Yeah, the major focus is most of the APRA registered practitioner types, excluding dentists, optometrists, and general practitioners.
Sure.
So they're sort of markets that we're not interested in. We would prefer to be looking after mental and physical health care providers.
Sure.
Particularly out in private practice. But having said that, we have a really wide and diverse community. There's everything from a sole practitioner all the way through to not-for-profits, franchised and affiliated networks of health mm-hmm. practitioners, corporatized health providers. It's really quite astounding just how many different size and shape health providers actually operate or use Core Plus as a central platform.
Yeah, brilliant. I love it. So you mentioned e-health and digital health, and I'm sure the listeners have heard that bandied around from time to time. My health record is a thing that's popping up, you know, in the vernacular these days. In your definition, and I know that you're a bit of a digital geek, so talk to us about digital health. What is digital health?
Yeah, well, that's an understatement, Jack. I'm a big, I love the tech and I love the possibility of health tech as well. But digital health in Australia has a very specific definition. It's about the safe, the clinically safe, secure and private way to share healthcare information about, right, about a client between healthcare practitioners. Okay. That's how it's currently termed. And the My Health Record is a facet. It's an aspect of having a centralised health record that all Australians can have individually. But the real game in town, in my opinion, whilst the political arena sort of sorts out what's going to happen with the My Health Record, but the real game in town in digital health is how we move the data around safely, right, securely, and in a clinically effective way, so that practitioners can actually have a meaningful use of it, of information that's being exchanged between them about a client that they happen to share or are assisting in their own ways.
Okay, interesting. And so, you know, I guess we're all familiar with some of the digital parameters, but what does that mean from a client perspective? If patients, I know there's a lot of concern or at least skepticism out there around My Health Record and digital records and files being secure, unsecured. What does that mean from a patient perspective?
There's a variety of wins for the patient. One is that it's going to lower the risks of any privacy breaches. So I don't know whether you saw the recent reports coming out of the Privacy Commissioner, but unfortunately the health industry is the number one industry for data breaches, as reported.
Mm. Why is that, do you think?
Yeah, well, the stats are pretty clear. It's human error and cyber security related issues. So the human error related to things where inappropriate technology was used, such as email or faxes. There's some examples where the wrong name has been entered into some of these things. They're kind of stuff that when I speak to people, we all sort of go, oh, you know, I've been there. Like, we all relate to it. We understand it. And it's not really an indictment on us as people. It just happens.
Sure.
So the concept of interoperability actually makes the governance around sending the information to the right person much more robust. So you just almost in a way can't get it wrong. Mm-hmm. And the information that's coming back follows the same route in reverse, essentially. So that's an important win if you're really sensitive about the type of issues that you're dealing with as a patient, as a client. But the other thing I think that's really important, and this is an extension of where digital health will get to in time, it's the patient experience. It's the user experience.
Mm, now you're talking my language.
Yeah, well, as a consumer of healthcare services in Australia, it's not a great experience, and it's not because there isn't, you know, you get a practice that does it really well, but then you get another one that doesn't. But when you step back a bit, as an Australian, I'm not using the same practice 100% of the time. So it means that I'm interacting with different types of health practitioners in different locations under different circumstances. And so the digital health supporting the whole client experience or the patient experience will come into its own there, because when I'm interacting with a general practitioner, for example, if you're connected to Core Plus and using the secure messaging interoperability, you're essentially embedded directly into the GP's workflows. That means that as the GP is looking up a physio, for example, or a psychologist, they're doing that with me in the room right there. They're able to look up, they're able to identify you, they're going to choose a location that's probably easy for me, they're going to select you, and then they're going to send my healthcare information and the requisite referral information directly to you. So that means that now I don't have to sort of stumble out into Google and look up directories and keyword search for a physio or a psychologist, for example, to be able to figure it out for myself. So that really improves the journey of me navigating through the healthcare system. So I think that's really important.
It's an interesting distinction, because you're not as a clinic owner, we want to make the client journey really easy, smooth for the client, but we also want to make our relationships with our referrers really smooth and easy. You know, we talk often inside Clinic Mastery around building relationships with referrers, GPs, specialists, so that it's easy for them to refer to you. So when you mention interoperability, which is a bit of a tongue twister for those who might not be familiar, it really is speaking to being able to be found easily inside other systems and communicate in a language that works between systems. Is that right?
That's right. So it's the ease of use. It's not asking your referrers to bend over backwards to be able to refer somebody to you. Right? Mm-hmm. So what you're doing is you're, by using the right type of technology, mm-hmm. you're entrenching yourself directly within their known workflows, within their current cultural sure. Method of how they go about searching and selecting for referrers. So mm-hmm. that's really easy. And I guess another thing to take away from that is that it definitely is about human relationships. There's a fairly well documented phenomena that happens with you've probably heard of the term sort of 6 degrees of separation, and how yes. that sort of suggests we're all connected to each other in some way. It's just a matter of how deep that is. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to things like directories and lookups, you can't take away the human relationship side of it completely. Right. So having those human relationships, so to your point in terms of how you advise your clients, that's a really, really good piece of advice. It's good to build relationships with your referrers, but it's going to be hard to build a good relationship with them if you're really hard to use and you're really hard yeah. to refer to. So this is a great way of actually building the rapport and building that relationship with your referrers, because you're actually part of their world, and it's just easy to do.
I love it. And if we can, for a second, we'll zoom out later, but for a second, let's go in a little bit more nitty-gritty detail around secure direct messaging. What is SDM, and why should healthcare clinics care about it?
All right. Well, it's going to mitigate any potential privacy breaches. So that's one.
So when we say that, you're referring to email and fax not being secure as defined by the Privacy Act, is that right?
Oh, totally. Email is not secure at all. It's an open channel, essentially. I mean, some people might argue that they encrypt their emails, and you know, that's kind of okay, but it's not the standard that the government and the Department of Health has agreed to, and sure. and certain industry. So yeah, so you're going to deal with security and privacy in a way that everybody agrees to. All right, so there's sure. no dispute about that.
Sure.
Okay, so we've got, it's called a conformance. And the second part of it is that the content of the information that's being shared has also been agreed to. So that means that you're going to have somebody receiving your reports or sending you a document, you're actually going to understand it. And you're going to be able sure. to relate to it. And that's going to be helpful in a clinical context. That's going to help your clinical continuity with the client, and being able to also generate any continued payer support to the extent that that's relevant, like Medicare or NDIS or whatever the case is. Those things are important. But the big reason, and this just blows my mind the more that I talk about it and think about it, is that every private practice has to be thinking about how to acquire new clients.
Right.
And on the other side of it, it's also how to look after your existing clients. But the reality is that clients come and go. So there's a constant need to make sure that you're presenting yourself to the world
sure.
in a way that's easy for them to find you. And so I'll offer you a little sort of scenario here, Jack, that might help with the listeners sort of understanding the big value proposition to secure messaging. And that is, when you set up a practice, when you're running a practice, you are setting up resources to be able to deal with answering calls. Okay, and so you're spending money on phones, you're spending money on reception or virtual assistants, you've got some floor space allocated, which is an overhead. There's quite a bit of cost there.
Sure.
So when you think about how many new clients you acquire on a month-to-month basis, you've got to take that number of new client acquisitions and divide it by the cost of dealing with those direct phone calls.
Sure.
So just some simple maths on it. If you were spending, you would take about $4,000 a month on that, mm-hmm. and you acquire one new client, that would be a $4,000 client acquisition,
sure. right?
Which means you're losing money, I'm going to suggest, on that, unless this person really needs a truckload of healthcare services.
Yep.
So, if you get 10 clients, then that sort of reduces it down, but you really have to scale that. I think it's an important metric for people to be thinking about as far as what it costs to convert, and I'm sure you guys support some of that thinking with your content. So then the other side of it is, well, okay, but I've got to have a phone call. I just couldn't imagine not being able to receive a phone call, and that's really important. So the next part of it is, all right, so let's make ourselves available through online bookings.
Sure.
And that's important, but there's still a little bit of resource that's needed. It's definitely, I would argue it's a lot more cost effective than answering phone calls, but there's still a little bit of resource in it, as you're well aware. But they are relying on self-referrals. They are relying on people to figure out for themselves how to find you and sort of navigate through the noise of Google and other advertising channels. and eventually they'll get through to you. So you're spending money on that as well, the digital marketing, the advertising and what have you. With digital health and secure message delivery, you are connected right into the systems and the workflows of referrers. And they are dealing with a potential client of yours. They are qualifying the need. They are then recommending you based on the lookup and being able to then direct the client to you. So it's going to be, I would argue, the lowest cost channel for new client acquisition that you present to the world. And I actually think it's a must-have. You know, for a modern health practice to be interconnected and interoperable with other healthcare providers, you just, very simply, just why would you not allow yourself to receive at least one referral a month, if not two or three or five or 10?
Oh, it adds up. And like you say, it's off the back of healthy relationships that those referrals can flow. I know you've touched on in previous discussions around that disparity of the supply and demand of healthcare. There's patients out there desperate for services and there's clinics that are quiet. What are your thoughts around that disparity?
Oh, it's very real. It's very real. We do a little bit of metadata analysis in terms of availability across our community of users, and it's pretty clear. And there's definitely availability. You know, you get your really busy practices, and they might have a lead time of 2 or 3 months or whatever the case is. But I think generally there's definitely availability. And then the other side is, there's a report that came out recently. I did a blog on this recently, Jack. I think it was an APA Beach report that came out, and that was indicating that 87% of presentations to a GP that would otherwise be a referral opportunity for a physiotherapist were not being referred. That's extraordinary. That shows you that you've got pent-up demand out there that's not finding its way through. And I still think we've got some work to do in Australia in making sure that the GP is able to use the channels that are available to be able to direct that person onto you or direct that person onto a suitable healthcare practitioner down the road more effectively. But I see the same type of things in mental health, and these are all compounding now as schemes like the NDIS are in place and how we actually coordinate healthcare. We've seen some of the impact of aged care. There's so much opportunity to deal with the demand in the right place at the right time, but we need the tech to be able to make that as easy as possible.
I love it. Great thoughts. I think in today's landscape of health clinic ownership, it might be attractive to go down some of those digital marketing avenues of direct to consumer, Facebook marketing and Google marketing, which is all very important to have those direct relationships with patients. And I would say clinics need to lean into that, but certainly not at the expense of the referrer relationships and patients that can come from an organic relationship within the right platform. And we want to, in all of those situations, we want to make it easy for patients to find us on Google. We also want to make it really easy for referrers to find us in an interoperable environment where there's some healthy trust. Yeah, and this is awesome. I love it. And what I want to do now is lean into the inner geek and tell us a bit about Core Plus. Like what makes you really excited and proud about Core Plus, or what's on the back burner that you can perhaps share with us where you're on the cutting edge? So what gets you excited and what's to come?
We're very focused about maintaining the idea that we're a platform that allows interoperability with systems and people. So they're things that the people side is probably not as well known with Core Plus. We went into the market very early with Medicare integration, so that helped with payers. Same with the Department of Veterans Affairs. We've got private health insurance integrations. So that side, I think, is pretty well, the tracks have been laid for that. We've got online add-ons. We deal with pretty well-known add-ons in the physical therapy space. We've got telehealth capabilities that are connected as well, which are all about enabling the idea that in some cases you can reimagine the model of healthcare.
In what ways? Can you give us an example?
Yeah, I could. Take, for example, the atypical private practice type model, which is, you know, the client comes in, you're treating them within your local practice, for example, and there's a transaction to support that, so to speak. And so the digital tools, let's say telehealth, for example, one thing that I hear a little bit about in private practice is the idea of the continuity and building engagement with a patient or a client. So let's say you get somebody dropping out of your prescribed sequence of sessions. So you might have prescribed 10, but they came in for 3 and now they haven't showed up.
Sure.
So you can use telehealth or a video call to actually reach out and see how that person's going. So rather than do an SMS or rather than do an email or some other kind of impersonal kind of technique, which is advocated, and they're okay. They're good. But if you ask the question on how could we do things a little bit different, well, what about an actual video call? It's very personal. You see the face of the practitioner. It takes a few minutes, and it leaves a really endearing impression. You know, we are humans at the end of the day. We like to connect with each other. We like to build relationships. Mm. So I think, you know, they're the opportunities on how we could actually reimagine to some extent or innovate the way that we're actually delivering healthcare services, as well as thinking about what happens before the service and what happens after the service.
Talk to us about that.
So actually, build out a relationship.
Can you talk about that before the consult and after the consult and how Core Plus can help facilitate that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've released a Privacy Act compliant online booking capability. It's a sealed system. It allows the individual to enter their information in a private forum. There's no third parties involved in that in any way, shape or form. So that allows, to some extent, the initiation of the booking and some of the initial engagement to come about. And because it's a really easy experience, it provides a very positive impression on the client. So if they're just meeting you for the first time through your book now capability, that's going to be a nice start to the relationship. All fairly easy. And then you come into the engagement and, we support being able to set up multiple appointments if necessary. Some people don't like doing that. Other people do. Sure. But you have the ability to do that. We also support, in terms of client acquisition, the, capability of having virtual assistants in place, which means that you can get some productivity gains in your practice on being able to deal with a lower cost model for dealing with phone calls and being able to follow a tried and tested process on how to actually convert into a booking.
Wow.
And we have some pretty cool capability in there that allows a much more efficient way for a virtual assistant to be able to find a suitable allocation of time. A lot of diary users are used to kind of scrolling through day views or week views to try and do it.
Sure.
We have a particular feature which we call Find Best Fit, which we've got to do a better job with telling the world about because it's not very well known, but it's there. And and what it allows the virtual assistant to do, or the receptionist, is to put in the specific needs of the caller, and it finds all the applicable appointments.
So if I'm a patient, and if I'm a patient and I said, oh, look, I can only come Tuesdays and Thursdays after 3 p.m., you click of a button, it'll show those availabilities that meet that criteria.
Absolutely. You put in your criteria, you push the button, and you get a bunch of results, and that way you're able to quickly negotiate with the client what the best fit is for them and lock it in. So that's another nice experience as well.
Amazing.
We interact with some of the tools that I mentioned earlier, including telehealth. So we're building out the idea that we're a platform. We want to encourage advisors to come to the community to make themselves available to health practitioners. So we recognise that running a health practice is a full-time job, and a lot of people who run private practices relate to, you know, doing the books late into the evening and spending a lot of time on that. These days, you know, you can find bookkeepers, you can find advisors, you can find marketers for that matter. But what we're trying to do is cultivate an environment that allows people to come together as well as technology to come together on the platform. That's why, in essence, Jack, we refer to ourselves as Core Plus, because the core is not 100% of your needs, but it's most of your private practice needs. And the plus comes about through the people and other systems that we're able to interconnect and support around the platform.
I love it. And, you know, one of the things that really resonates with us at Clinic Mastery is that you're always looking to be outcomes focused and pushing the needle forward on things that might not always be front of mind, but are so useful, like the secure messaging and interoperability and the, like all these things is super exciting that it's not just a stagnant you know, practice management software, but it really is a tool that can help clinics progress and push forward. Now, that's really exciting. Thank you so much for sharing your insights there. If people want a glimpse on the inside, I personally love following you guys on Instagram. So I'm going to recommend that people follow Core Plus on Instagram at Core Plus PM is the handle there. But I know, you know, you articulate the issues that are facing clinic owners really well, especially through your blog and website. If people want to know more about Core Plus, if they want to hear more about you and what you do, where should they go?
Well, just come to the website, coreplus.com.au. That's C-O-R-E, as in core strength, and the word plus, P-L-U-S. We've got a live chat environment that's on the website, so you can look through the pages if you like, or you can interact with our customer success team. And we offer a free trial that's untimed, because we recognise that sometimes 14 days or 30 days is just not enough for a health practice to go through their proper evaluation. And so we sort of say, use it for as long as you need. We do put a constraint on how many clients you can serve within that environment.
Sure. Makes sense.
But certainly time is not a constraint. And so you can take as long as you need and interact with our team in real time, essentially, to work through any questions and activating any of the features that you want to add on to it.
Super stuff. I love it. It's really exciting. Really appreciate you sharing. So listeners, we'll be able to link everything up for you over in the show notes. That'll be at clinicmastery.com/podcast. We'll link out to all the socials, the website, the trials, untimed trial. I like it, mate. I love that it's different. It's just thinking outside the box that will meet a lot of clinic owners' needs. They don't have 14 days up their sleeve to test, or 7 or 30, whatever that might be. So I love it. Really appreciate you sharing. Please share away.
I was just going to say, Jack, in the early days, we did have a time trial, and the overwhelming feedback was that there wasn't enough time within that short window for people to properly evaluate. So we're pretty confident we're a good product, and we represent a really good fit for the Australian healthcare environment. So we're happy for you to take as long as you need to make that decision, and hence why we implemented that.
Super stuff. Well, there you go, listeners. Yani Sopanos from Core Plus Practice Management Software. I hope there's been some really interesting insights into not only their product, but digital health and interoperability and providing amazing experiences for your clients in a way that transforms your clinics. So make sure you head over and check out the show notes at clinicmastery.com/podcast. Yani, we really appreciate your insights. Listeners, thank you for your reviews and ratings on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, all of the platforms. And we look forward to bringing you another episode really soon.
This is the Grow My Clinic podcast by Clinic Mastery, where we help you deliver amazing client experiences to grow your clinic.